Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What benefits does baptism give? Last week you said what baptism is. It is the union of ordinary water, plain water, with the extraordinary Word of God. And a twofold Word of God at that. His clear command to do baptism, but also his comforting promises about what baptism does. So then it seems right to ask, what benefits does baptism give? If God has commanded it, and he is merciful to his very core, then baptism must be for your good. The Catechism answers, it works the forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe, as the words and promises of God declare. That's a tall order. Those are big promises. Forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation to all who believe. That is what God has promised. Can God break a promise? Will he do what he says he will do? Indeed, he will. God is incapable of breaking a promise. Such is the power of his word. The word of the Lord endures forever. The Lord will do what the Lord has promised to do. And so what has he promised to do? Forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. In the epistle reading for this evening, you get just the tail end of the story on Pentecost. After Peter's rip-roaring sermon, where he says, you killed this Jesus of Nazareth, God's own anointed, the Christ, but God raised him up. Twice, Peter hammers them with the law, and then he just stops the sermon and is ready to sit down, it seems. And St. Luke records, they were cut to the heart. And they ask, someone in the crowd raises a hand. You can't just stop there, Peter. Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Speaking, inspired by the Holy Spirit, there, that first Pentecost, Peter says, God promises to forgive your sins in the waters of holy baptism. And as the guarantee that your sins are forgiven, he joins his Holy Spirit to the water of holy baptism. Spirit and water is what the Lord Jesus said are the means by which you are born again. He said to Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. So Peter says, the solution for all of the law's accusation that makes you rightly cry out, brothers, what shall we do, is in baptism. Baptism is a full lifetime worth of forgiveness. The crowds in Jerusalem there for that Pentecost probably were not the same crowds who 50 days, 53 days earlier were crying out for the death of Jesus, crying out, crucify him. This is the traveling crowd, the crowd that has come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. But they are the ones at whom Peter levels this accusation. You killed this Jesus, the Christ. Not because they were there or had any proximate role to play in the Lord's crucifixion, but because it is sin that brought about the death of the incarnate Word of God, the eternal second person of the Trinity. Sinners hate God. Peter's accusation is against you also. Your sin is what brought about the death of Jesus. And so you, like the crowd at Pentecost, struck to the heart, cry out, what shall we do? And the answer to your sin is in the otherwise ordinary water of baptism, Peter promises. Forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, In the Old Testament reading today, you have an illustration of what your rescue from the devil looks like in the waters of holy baptism. Except there you have the Lord leading his people out of slavery, real slavery in Egypt, under the rule and reign of Pharaoh. Through his servant Moses, God brings his people out. And they get all the way out to the Red Sea, and then they exclaim, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have brought us out to die in the wilderness? It would have been better to remain in slavery in Egypt than to die out here in the wilderness." And when anyone is brought to the waters of holy baptism, he is asked, "Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?" That is to say, is it better to die out here in the wilderness than to live under slavery of the devil and death and your own sinful flesh? And the candidate for baptism responds, "Yes, I renounce him and all his works and all his ways." The Lord commanded Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Stretch out your hand over the sea, and the people will walk through on dry ground." And so the waters separate, a wall to the left and to the right, with dry land miraculously in between. Not even sticky mud that they have to trudge through. Perfectly dry land to walk across. But the Egyptians, seeing the Lord has opened an opportunity for escape for his people, the Israelites, pursue them, of course, until their chariot wheels begin to bog down in the mud. It's no longer safe and dry and secure for them. And they cry out, "Flee, for the Lord fights for Israel against Egypt." But then the waters close in. And with the very same water that proves to be an instrument of salvation, a means of mercy for his people, the Lord destroys those who would oppress them, who would pursue them. Just like last week, you heard of the water of the flood. The very same water is both mercy and wrath, depending on your location. If you are in the ark, one of those eight people whom the Lord saves, Noah and his family, the water of the flood is mercy, the means by which you are saved from sin, death, and the devil. But if you are outside the ark, then the very same water is wrath to you. So it is as God leads his people through the Red Sea. With the very same action, he is saving his people by destroying their oppressors. Saved, rescued from death and the devil. And then Jesus promises, which we have as our gospel reading tonight, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Those together, belief and baptism, go hand in hand. In fact, faith is simply trusting the word that God has attached to his action in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus promises this action of God in the water of holy baptism now saves you. St. Peter says the same thing, which you heard in our epistle reading for last week. Baptism now saves you, as it corresponds to the flood. But baptism is also a rebirth. Entry into the Lord's family. As God the Father declared of Jesus when he was baptized, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." So he says of you. When you are baptized, heaven opens and God the Father declares, "This one is mine, my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." You receive a new Father, your heavenly Father, just as we heard on Sunday. Because you are in Jesus, he bids you approach his Father as your Father, or as you pray, our Father. And you are given a brother in the waters of holy baptism, the same one of whom God the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son." The Lord Jesus himself now is your brother, your advocate, a kinsman in your own flesh, flesh and blood just like yours, but uncorrupted, unspoiled by sin. And knit together in this new family, you have a new mother as well. The Lord brings you into his church. She gives life and birth to you as church fathers throughout history have spoken of the baptismal font as the womb by which you are given this rebirth, this new life. grafted into this new family. Can God break a promise? Absolutely not. But can you? Certainly. And if baptism is your work, what we asked last week, is it your work or is it God's work? Is it you for God or God for you? If baptism is you for God, then you can break your promises. And baptism might need to be redone. If it is, what's the phrase? An external sign of an inward reality, then you might question whether that internal reality is true or not, whether you rightly gave your heart over to God or sincerely prayed a sinner's prayer to ask him into your heart or truly surrendered your life to God, if it is you for God. But if baptism is God's work for you, that he can never, will never break the promise he makes to you in the waters of holy baptism. Baptism is entry into the Lord's church. It does exactly what the Lord promises it will do. He cannot lie. He cannot break his promise. So in many ancient churches and larger churches still today, they put the baptismal font right out in the narthex so that you don't miss the imagery, the reminder that it is by means of baptism that the Lord has brought you into his one holy Christian and apostolic church. Contrary to baptism being an external symbol of an internal reality, baptism is the external means by which the Lord works that internal reality. It is the external means by which the Lord delivers gifts. Faith comes not from inside, faith comes by hearing. And baptism is the external application of the Lord's grace, so that you may always with confidence trust what the Lord has done for you in the waters of holy baptism. God can never, will never break his promises. His words and promises remain eternally true. Every day of your life, you are the Lord's baptized, beloved child. The word of the Lord endures forever, and his work that he has accomplished in the waters of holy baptism endures for you every breath you take, every moment of every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.